Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBN Holdings H1 2017 Financial Results Conference Call. Following an overview by FBN Holdings management team, an interactive Q&A session will be available. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. U.K. Eke, Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon and good morning. Welcome to FBN Holdings Half Year 2017 Earnings Conference Call. My name is UK Eke, the Group Managing Director, FBN Holdings PLC. And on this call, I've got my colleagues, Dr. Shola Adeduton, the Managing Director, First Bank of Nigeria Limited. I also have Wale Ariyibi, the Chief Financial Officer, FBN Holdings PLC. I have Patrick. Patrick is the CFO at the Commercial Bank. And Shegu Alabiosu is the CRO at the Commercial Bank. I also have Ini Ebong, who is the Treasurer at the Commercial Bank. Also with me are CEOs of lead subsidiaries of our business groups. Just by way of introduction, let me say very clearly that the performance of the group during the first half of 2017 was quite strong, and we are seeing the dividend of our collective efforts. While there were challenges, yes, we did well, but ahead, down the road, we still believe that there will be hurdles to cross. However, the group remains resilient, and we have demonstrated over the last 12 to 18 months the capacity to perform despite challenges. Now, for emphasis, let me also say that the efficiency and value creation philosophy, which we mentioned at the last call, that is what is driving our engagement for 2017. And so I will quickly go straight to the slide 5, just to demonstrate the environment under which we operated. Slide 5 speaks to a slow economic recovery, which pervaded the economy all through 2017 half year. We also saw declining inflation, and we are happy to also note improvements in the crude oil production, which obviously led to accretion to foreign reserves. This obviously gave central bank the ammunition to intervene in the foreign exchange market, which has also led to relative stability in the FX market. We saw yields on investment securities fairly stable and at high levels. This is positive for us, given our liquidity position and also the size of our balance sheet. Despite this point I've mentioned, the operating environment remains very challenging, and we do hope that we'll be able to work our way through these times. Slide 6, there are two quick comments to mention there. At the last call, we reported the revision of the guidelines on investment for PFAs. So under current regulation, PFAs can now invest in the equities of bank holding companies. The other quick point to mention is that in June, Central Bank of Nigeria released the exposure draft for licensing of private asset management companies to manage NPLs in banks. I think it's also important to say that Central Bank's monetary policy stance was maintained through the first half of 2017. Quickly on slide 7, we have demonstrated sustained revenue-generating capacity from our core business. As you can see, our earnings-generating capacity remains very strong, with 7.8% growth year-on-year in the gross earnings. We also sustained very strong pre-provision operating profit of 97.8 billion, entirely from core operations. Now, although our PBT and the PAT were down 22% and 18% respectively, this is the impact of a base effect, i.e. the one-off FX reval gain which we booked in 2016. I am happy to report reduction in impairment charge for the first half of 2017 following improvements in our asset quality. We have also maintained very tight hold on costs, although there is some increase you will see period on period, but this is clearly a result of the huge cost base that we carry. And having said that, it's important to mention that the increase is also below inflation rate. Moving on to slide 8, that slide speaks to the improving earnings yield and also our cost efficiency, the asset quality and the capital. Indeed, the cost management initiatives which we implemented continue to gain traction, partly offset by the currency devaluation and high inflationary environment. If you adjust for FX revaluation gains, the cost-to-income ratio closed at 54.7%. For the comparative period of 2016, it was 59.7%. We're happy to report that NPL and cost of risk are both trending downward. NPL on group basis is 22%, while at the bank level, you'll see less than 20%. We're also happy to report very strong NIM at 8.5%. Capital at the operating company's level remain very strong, and we also have built buffer during this period. If you adjust for profit to date, year to date, the commercial bank will be at 18.6 capital adequacy ratio, while the merchant bank will be at 26.7%. This clearly shows very strong buffers. Now, I'll take you straight to slide 9, where we are restating our commitment to execution as we rebuild the group for enhanced shareholder value. Now, beyond the reinforcement of risk governance and architecture across the group, we'd like to report that recovery and remediation efforts are top on the agenda, driven at the highest level by the board of the commercial bank and also with oversight at the holdco level. Our cost optimization and efficiency initiatives, we are gaining traction, and we believe that the benefits of the ERM and ERP, which we started implementing late last year, will begin to kick in 2018. We continue to pursue group collaboration and synergy, and we have indeed launched the business referral application to drive and track cross-sell across the group. In addition, we have also deployed our global account management framework to deepen collaboration across the enterprise. On the digital banking space, we are very active, and we've deployed market-leading offerings, which obviously we're going to see the benefits as we fully implement all of those initiatives, starting with this agency banking, and we're already doing the pilot run, while our USSD platform continues to lead the market. Quickly to slide 10, although we are reporting 2017, our focus is really on our 3-year strategic planning period, and we've got our aspirations listed. One, we have made a declaration that by 2019 we expect to see single-digit NPL, and as I reported earlier, we are seeing a downward trend on the NPL, and for the first time in a number of quarters, we see NPL declining for the second quarter of 2017. The same for cost of risk. There's also a decline quarter on quarter, and we believe that by 2019 we should see cost of risk at less than 2%. Cost to income ratio, we have done very well in that area. Clearly, we have been able to manage our costs effectively. If you look at the slides, you see that the cost to income ratio has come down despite the inflation, which has also has been trending upwards, but we have been able to manage our costs effectively quarter on quarter. We think that by the end of our planning period, 2019, our cost to income ratio should be less than or equal to 50%, and our return on equity should be greater than 20%, very clearly. We think that the group is well positioned, and we are working to rebuild shareholder value through our people, our process, and technology. And we do believe that we have the right people, the right process, and the right technology to deliver value to the shareholders. So I would ask that the operator open the line for Q&A. Thank you.
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a question on your telephone keypad. We will pause just for a moment to allow everyone to signal to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Tolu Alamontu of Equitex. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, and thank you for hosting the call. I just have three quick questions, please. The first is on NPLs. From the presentation, it looks like you declassified about 152 billion of NPLs in the period. I just wanted to know if you could shed light on that. It looks like these were in the oil and gas downstream sector. Was it just one company, or was it a group of companies where you declassified the NPLs? Also, could you please give us an update on some of the large NPL exposures like Atlantic Energy and so on, and what we can expect to see before the end of the year? Secondly, on capital, can I just clarify that you said that if we include the first half profit, the capital ratio at the bank will be 18.6%? And also, are you able to give any capital ratio guidance for the bank for the end of this year, please? And finally, on the outlook for loan growth, I just wanted to know if you're seeing any opportunities in any specific sectors this year, because obviously up until now your focus has been on dealing with legacy asset quality problems and so on. So I just wanted to know if that's changed in any way. Thank you.
We confirm that if you capitalize the earnings for the first half of 2017, capital at the First Bank of Nigeria Limited level will be 18.6%. And at the Merchant Bank, it will be 26.7%. I think the reason we highlight that is we made a statement that the commercial bank is not expected to upstream dividend to the holding company, and therefore you can assume that all of the earnings at the commercial bank level will be retained. And we do believe that this will give the commercial bank sufficient buffer to be able to grow its business, and therefore eliminate any need whatsoever to approach the market for additional capital. Shegu, the CRO, will take the question on the risk.
NPL. Yes. On NPL, we declassify a number of accounts for more in downstream oil and gas. And on the key exposures, on Atlantic Energy, we're engaging government bureaucracy to ensure that 2017 targets are met on that account. On ITO, we confirmed during the Q1 QA that we have restructured the loan, and we expect that to drop to performing in the course of 2017. We remain committed to that plan. And on Ontario, we have advanced the actions on asset realization, and we expect write back In the course of 2017, for amounts that should be in the north of 20 billion.
This is Tolu again. I didn't get the first part of what you said there because, unfortunately, the line dropped off. You were saying about Atlantic Energy and the negotiations there. Sorry.
Okay. I said for Atlantic Energy, I said the resolution has taken longer than anticipated, but our working through government bureaucracy to ensure that the account is resolved in the course of 2017. And on ITO, we confirmed during the first quarter conference call that we have restructured the account and we expect the account to drop to performing in the course of 2017 and that we remain committed to that resolution part.
Okay. That's very helpful, thank you. And then the outlook for loan growth, please.
Yes, for us we see opportunity in manufacturing and general commerce.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Jemai Mohammed of Equitex Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. This is Jemai from Exotics Partners, and thank you for taking my question. Just a follow-up, first of all, to Tolu's question. I just want to confirm that the loans that have been restructured or that have been reclassified, rather, in the quarter are not the three major loans that you've talked about in the past, and these you expect to come, well, on board towards end of 2017. And my second question will be a status update on the Etisalat loan, if you've made provisions on it and, you know, what to expect in terms of finding a seller or buyer, rather, through the course of the year. Thank you.
Okay. One of the three loans has been provisioned and written off the cost of Q2 2017. As we reported, asset realization, and we believe that in the course of 2017, we will have right back excess of 20 billion. It is a lot. Cash flow of it is a lot or Nine Mobile now. We are part of lenders trying to reposition the company till it finds new investors. We believe that with the strong cash flow of the company, there will be no need for impairment as the cash flow of the company is not impaired, and that the new investors coming in will be buying solid assets that will take out all lenders.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Just a quick follow-up to a previous question. I just wanted to ask you, please, what the contribution of the large loan that has been reclassified. The large loan that has been reclassified, what's the size in your NPL ratio?
The large NPL reclassified, they were 4%.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Our next question, ladies and gentlemen, comes from Gloria Fadippi of CSL. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. More clarity on the loan book. Do you mind telling us what the underlying asset you're trying to realize in Ontario is? And You mentioned that Atlantic Energy, negotiations, you still expect negotiations to round up through the course of this year. Just with all the political exposure and all the issues surrounding the promoters of that loan, do you still see that as a realizable target this year? And to also know what percentage of that loan has been provided for so far. Thank you.
On Atlantic Energy,
yeah,
we remain committed to resolution in 2017, despite the political issues surrounding the promoters. As lenders, what is more important for us is our right, our stepping right as lenders, and not the political issues surrounding, the promoters. Because that's the business that was funded in the first place. And as for provisioning, we've taken 30% provision on that account.
30%? 30%?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the assets?
And
then Ontario assets?
Well, if you permit us, we are not in a position to disclose at this time.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Our next question, ladies and gentlemen, comes from Samrat Kandoia of Payden and Rigel. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. Thank you. So I'm sort of continuing, on the same story as asset quality. So how big is the Atlantic Energy loan? What's your exposure? If you can disclose that or not, I don't know. But what is your total exposure to Atlantic Energy? That's the first question. What is your total exposure to Atlantic Energy? And can we expect, because the other Nigerian banks have much lower NPL ratios of below 5%, and it's only First Bank of Nigeria which is shot up because of exposure to oil and gas, right? So can we expect the trajectory of NPLs to normalize in the next 1 or 2 years? Do you expect to take a lot of provisioning with regards to them? And if yes, how much provisioning do you expect to take, and what would be the impact of that provisioning on your capital ratio?
Over our three-year strategy cycle, commencing 2017 and end 2019, based on our guidance, we expect NPL in 2017 to be sub 20, but our 2019 will be in over single digits. On provisioning, we confirm that on the period of resolution, because the asset itself, the living asset, an oil well that is also producing. What is left is our stepping right, our right as lenders for us to realize our cash flow. Now, looking at the NPL and looking at what we need to do in terms of provision, we believe that the level of provisioning we've made so far on that particular asset, take care of all, what would be the level of provision that we require.
Sorry, the phone got a bit, the voice got a bit, I couldn't hear what you said. So what's your exposure to Atlantic Energy?
We might not be able to disclose on the...
Okay. And you say you expect the NPLs to go to single digit by 2019. So what sort of impact on capital ratio would there be? From 18% capital ratio, what level would it fall to? Because you have to take losses on the NPL.
So here's the thing. Two quick comments around that. The first is, we must understand, and if you look at the financials, the business itself is significantly organically capital generative. So for most part, we're projecting to take about 120 billion impairment charges this year and still post a profit.
and we're expecting to do even better the next year in terms of profitability. So, frankly, we are comfortable that we can take care of our impairment charges with limited, non-significant impact on our capital ratios. Our comfort point is really to have our capital adequacy ratio 17% and above, and that is kind of what we've simulated over the time horizon to 2019 while taking these capital charges as a result of the NPL.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question, ladies and gentlemen, comes from Nubusi Obeka of Standbeck. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have two questions. The first one, I hear you that you intend to resolve the Atlantic Energy issue before the end of this year, but permit me to play devil's advocate here. If for any reason it's not resolved in the next 5 months, so what will be the plan? Are you going to take the remaining 70% impairment charges or what? And this is especially considering that implementation of IFRS 9 is just 5 months away. So what's the plan for this particular exposure if it doesn't go the way you plan? Then the second question is, how long do you plan to maintain this strategy of not allowing the commercial bank to upstream dividend to the holdco? How many more years should we as investors expect to receive dividend from your other subsidiaries?
Atlantic Energy, we are convinced that the account will resolve 2017. But as we have said, even if the account is not resolved 2017, the 30% we have taken, considering the underlying collateral, don't forget that IFRS itself made provision for collateral in valuing impairment or in booking impairment. So if you look at the value of an oil well that is producing today, and you ask yourself that what happens on this asset I have, because we have it, it's political issues that you just have to clear for you to have access to the cash flow. You discover that what we have taken as impairment is actually sufficient to cover what we're supposed to do for the year.
And to your second question about the upstream of dividend. So this is how we kind of look at it. I mean, ultimately, the whole idea is to create value for shareholders. And the value to shareholders will accrue either through dividend payments you make or capital appreciation on their shares. If we note the value of the shares today, clearly there's significant upside built in there. So the decision we've made internally is to do what is required to clean up the books, what is required to boost the level of profitability, and what is required to create the right structure that optimizes the market cap. Because the market to conserve capital as required to clean up the books. But we also still have the option, given what it is we see, to still pay a level of dividend if that is required, or if that's in the best interest of the shareholder, recognizing the full value that accrues to the shareholder is the combination of the dividend and the market cap. I hope that addresses your concern.
Okay. This is UK. Let me say one more thing here with respect to the commercial bank position. I think it's important to emphasize that the commercial bank itself has subsidiaries that are operating outside Nigeria. And if you check the trend from Ghana to Senegal, even to England, that's the UK, United Kingdom, there have been fresh capital requirements and rules. And at each time, the commercial bank has had to transfer capital to those entities and are operating very profitably. So on a standalone basis, the commercial bank is on solid ground, capital-wise, and they will need to retain sufficient capital to be able to expand their risk-weighted assets and ultimately upstream dividend to the holding company. The beauty of our operations as a holding company is that the insurance franchise and the merchant bank and the other subsidiaries are performing very well. And if you look at their market positioning, they are market leading in their own rights. So we do hope that by the time we conclude with all the reforms at the commercial bank, which we have defined as between 2017 and 2019, we will begin to see massive upstreaming of dividend from that commercial bank group.
Thank you. That was helpful.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Chanoe Nuhui of Meristem Securities. Please go ahead.
I have a question on the medicine industry, which is estimated to go to 20%.
Pardon the interruption. This is the lead operator speaking. We cannot hear you on your line. We'll now move on to our next question from Ola Udensanya of RENCAP. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Olamiko Ogunseya from Renaissance Capital. Thank you for the presentation and taking my questions. My first question is really, to what extent is management willing to sacrifice growth at the expense of holding off a capital raise? And I ask this because it doesn't seem like management's stance has changed. And you've kind of indicated 2019 as the point where things start to improve. So what happens beyond 2019? What is the outlook in terms of growth? And secondly, what sort of ROEs do you think you can generate beyond 2019? And thirdly, I just wanted to get a sense of to what extent you play directly in the Nigerian market through your other subsidiaries. Because I guess even if First Bank Nigeria is losing market share, are you able to lend directly from your other subsidiaries into the Nigerian market? Apart from any currency mismatch, are there any regulatory requirements involved with that? Thank you.
Okay. I don't think there's any sacrifice of growth. What we said at the last conference call was that we will have a clear focus on remediation of the loan book, rebuild buffers while growing also. We identified the growth sectors we're going to focus on. We've also given guidance on the loan growth, which is around about 10% for 2017. And what is important is that we use this period of, as it were, a recession, because we did say that this was the best time to clean up. And then as the economy rebounds, we're in a position to grow aggressively. Now, the merchant bank obviously is well capitalized. If you look at the capital ratio, I did say that if you capitalize year-to-date profit, there will be around about 26%. And, growing their loan book, apart from the advisory services that they also perform to clients. So clearly, the commercial bank is on its measured growth plan. We haven't sacrificed growth at all, and we do think that we will not be bullish at this time. And then by the time we conclude with the cleanup of the book, and then we have reset our risk capital, which is already happening, we've fully implemented our enterprise risk management framework, we're in a position to relaunch. And this will happen from next year, clearly. We have given guidance on the ROE. We did say that from 2019, we'll be seeing well above 20% ROE, and that is quite strong for a bank of our size.
And then, I don't know, if this is Patrick, if this will give you comfort, I think UK has captured most of the key things, but here is the additional point we might want to consider. Given the current point in terms of crude oil price, inflation, the pressure on the currencies, or the currency, monetary rates are expected to be sustained over the next 6 months to 1 year.
The implication of that for a bank during such a time is that it's more of a deposit mobilization play, because you can still significantly accrete income without putting additional capital to play, since these things are weighted zero. So again, for First Bank, given our strategic options, our distribution, and the push to grow deposits, the capital constraint, the way you see it, isn't quite a constraint for us, especially during this time. And again, in any case, the business itself is significantly capital generative. Let's just use the half-year results as an example. For the bank, we've booked provisions of what, about 60, taken impairment charges of about 60 billion. And during that same time frame, we're posting profits of, let's say, going to 30 billion. So that is 90. Think about it into the second half of the year, which we expect to be not worse than the first half of the year. That is about 180 billion capital generative potential right there. So we hear you, but capital constraint, as you see it, really isn't the constraining thing for us. The priority for us is clean up the books, implement our strategic initiatives, grow the business, and come out at the end of the strategic period much better positioned to grow the business in a way no other institution can grow in this market.
Sorry, the final question on subsidiaries playing in the Nigerian market.
I thought I responded to that, and I mentioned that the merchant bank has been quite active in its space, doing not just capital market operations, but also quite active on the corporate banking side, and extending balance sheets to their corporate clients. An insurance company, clearly, we are the fastest growing insurance franchise in the market today, and we do think that as the economy opens up, clearly there's opportunity for the merchant bank to do more of their advisory services, which obviously to the subnationals and also to the sovereign itself, they're quite active, and I think there are no concerns around those other subsidiaries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Adoronke Akinsola of Chapel Hill Denham. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the call today. My first question is on the growth on loans to banks as a AFIA. So I'd like you to shed more light on the drivers of that growth, and we expect this to persist through the second half of the year. I'd also like to know what the current yield on these loans are at the moment. Secondly, I want to know your recovery expectation for full year. As I asked you, you had about 2.4 billion recovery. So what do you see by the end of the year? Then thirdly, I don't see any guidance for your key ratios for this presentation. So should I assume that your guidance
the same?
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you repeat the third question around guidance? What was the question on guidance?
Yes, I said I don't see any guidance in this presentation. So should I assume that the guidance would be the same as you had as your Q1 presentation?
Okay, thank you. Yes, essentially, yes. We haven't revised our guidance numbers, so you can work with the guidance we provided at the last call.
Okay, if I'm to speak to the growth in loans to banks, as you see from the presentation, for most of this year, our liquidity ratio has been in excess of 50%. So we've had extremely strong local currency liquidity, which is riding on the back of our strong retail franchise. So clearly, with a high interest rate environment, there's been much more increase in interbank placement activity with various counterparts. in addition to the investments in government securities that these can use. So that really is what it is. And depending on where you sit and timing, interbank market activity and rates have been pretty good to you. So that's what it's all about.
Recovery.
Guidance for recovery for 2017. We expect recovery to be north of 20 billion.
Okay.
Next question, please.
Certainly. Our next question comes from Talu Alumutu of Exotics. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just have a quick follow-up question, please. Could you please give us an update on your bond issuance plans, if there are any? And also, could you maybe comment on the bond that's callable in 2018, the bond callable in 2018 and 2019? How are you looking at those calls at the moment? Thank you.
Okay, as you rightly pointed out, two bonds are callable in 2018 and 2019, with ultimate maturities of 2020 and 2021. So that doesn't give us an immediate refinancing or put us under immediate refinancing pressure. So clearly what we'll do is evaluate our options at the time. I think what is clear is that when we issue those bonds, we did say we did it for funding diversification to add duration into the liability pool and also for the capital benefit, and that's why we issued them as Tier 2 instruments. We've clearly alluded to the fact that from a capital perspective, we're comfortable. So indeed, that requirement is not there, but certainly there will be requirements for longer-term funding in the books. So we will evaluate market conditions and take a decision around when we need to. But we still have a fair bit of time to see where it is, while we recognize that there is appetite for Nigerian issuance at this time. So we have time and we'll evaluate and see how it plays out.
Thank you very much.
Our next question, ladies and gentlemen, comes from Victor Shazier of Capital Bancorp. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
All right. Good afternoon. Thank you guys for the presentation. I actually want to thank you guys for the good work. Clearly, my question has actually been answered. It was basically on recovery. But another quick look at your numbers. I just wanted to know what exactly is responsible for the rising operating expense. We've seen it rise by 11%. I was expecting that costs wouldn't have grown that fast for the period. I wanted to just know, since I already have the numbers for recovery for a full year. Thank you very much.
Key drivers of the growth in OPEX are really twofold. The first is exchange rate. The second is inflation. And so if we think about the first half of 2016 versus where we are today, things have fundamentally changed. This did not come through fully in 2017 because it began to ramp up in the second half of 2017. But overall, though, and if you're looking at the specific items, things like maintenance, power, which is like 30% of the cost of a branch, I mean, were some of the key headlines that were impacted by this increase. But overall, having said that, we're still trending below inflation, and we expect we would maintain that this trajectory till the end of the year, i.e. Cost growth below inflation. Overall, the impact on our cost-to-income ratio, if we think about the bank specifically, the cost-income ratio for the bank as at mid-year was about 51%, which is actually better than what it was
last year if you adjust for the revaluation gain last year. So what am I trying to say? In spite of some of these increases, this increase, which we have contained below inflation rates, some of our initiatives are coming through and continue to improve our cost-income ratio. And we do not see this changing in the immediate future.
Additionally, it's important to note that our guidance is that at the end of this financial year, our cost-to-income ratio will be less than or equal to 55%. And we stay true to this commitment, and all of the items in the OPEC are things that we anticipated and we planned for. Again, if you take out the exchange gain of 2016, the cost-to-income ratio actually have been about this year's 54.47. So we are on course, and we're monitoring this, and our hands are fully on top of it. Our expectation for 2017 to 2019, at the end of our strategic planning cycle in 2019, is that cost-to-income ratio will be less than or equal to 50%.
Okay. Another quick follow-up. Regarding the follow-up. Hello?
Hello? We can hear you.
Okay. Regarding your NPL coverage, that in half year 2017, you had 52.7 against 41.5% for half year 2016. I need to know, at this pace, will you have adequately covered for your bad loans as that for full? You have covered adequately covered for your bad loan as that for when we get to full year 2019, your target point for where you expect a significant recovery for the banking space. Because I've seen that your coverage has been between 40, 50, or thinking will have been higher, so that at least by 2019 we expect full provisioning for all the impairments, all the bad loans, and we expect a clean slate from the next year.
Yes, NPL coverage, as you noticed, or as you observed, moved from 41 to 52 over the last 12 months. I'm giving you guidance for the year. And
yes.
But IFRS made provision for collateral, even in impairment. And so assuming 100% provision, it very much that we're saying there's no single collateral for all the impaired accounts. And you agree with me, it might not be correct. Therefore,
yes,
if you believe that even for mortgages, Air Court allow for 50%. At 52, it means that even for all facilities secure with real estate, I have no full provision. But we gave guidance for the year that what you have seen half year will continue throughout 2017. So we expect the coverage ratio to move closer to 60 or above 60 by end of 2017. But notwithstanding, we believe that what we have done today is adequate for our portfolio.
Okay, but with the way the group is going, we expect full coverage by 2019 and better performance from the next year.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. That's fine for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Ola Odunsanye of RenCap. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I have just one follow-up question. I'm sorry if I missed this. So the 6 to 7% cost of risk guidance for 2017, does that already factor in the write-backs of 20 billion, or is that separate?
No. The cost, no, it doesn't.
Sorry?
It doesn't.
Oh, thank you.
It doesn't.
Our next question, ladies and gentlemen, comes from Kehinde Owanubi of WSTC Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the presentation. I just have one question. Your NPL you have a newly classified NPL of about 19.6 billion. I'd like to know if you can shed more light on the makeup and if we'll see anything like that subsequently in H2. Thank you.
So, did you say newly classified NPL of 19.6%, or do you mean that the bank's NPL as a June ending was about 19.6%?
So, in your presentation, in your slide of mentioning NPL, you have a newly classified NPL there of 19.6 billion.
There are no questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back to Mr. UK Eke for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Let me first of all thank your participation. We like to restate our commitment to delivering value. We believe we're on the right track, and we do hope that by the time we host this conference in the next quarter, we will see more better results which we are posting. Hello?
This concludes the FBN Holding H1 2017 Financial Results Call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.